Welcome to another episode of That's So Cincinnati. Jason Williams with Sherry Coolidge, Silent Phil in the ones and twos. I laugh because that is the third time I've tried to start and record this without messing up. But I don't think I messed it up that time.
I accused him of not being properly caffeinated. This is an important thing for Jason. But he swears he is. We'll see. We'll see over the next hour.
Our special guest today, before I forget, because I don't know what's going on with me today. The coffee is in me. It should be in my blood by now. But whatever. TQL President Carrie Byrne, fresh off the news of TQL having the naming rights of the new FC Cincinnati Stadium.
It was pretty big news this morning. Putting your name on such a large structure, you know, that's adjacent to downtown. After people were, it's been called the West End Stadium, and really has caught on. People aren't just like, it's like a, you know, byproduct. Oh, the FC Stadium. People really do call it the West End Stadium. But it's been no secret they were looking for a naming rights partner. And it turns out TQL is having kind of a coming out of its own as they are rapidly expanding with their, you know, logistics trucking business during the pandemic. And so both Jeff Birding, president of FC Cincinnati, and Carrie told me for a story that's in today's paper that, you know, this is the perfect partnership for them. So we're going to talk about that. We'll talk about TQL. It's, you know, they've been very private, and they, leading up until this, they don't really talk very much. And so we're going to kind of get to the bottom of, you know, Cincinnati's largest private company.
Yeah. Rapidly growing. Looking forward to having Carrie on here momentarily. First, we're in our political segment, and there's never a shortage of politics to talk about. Since we last chatted with you, we had another Cincinnati City Council member indicted on a felony.
And this, by another, he means the fourth of nine.
That's right. In 14 months, Wendell Young, a Democratic council member, indicted on a felony charge of tampering with records related to the text messaging case. And Sherry, as we sit here today on Wednesday morning, he remains on council. And I think, you know, a lot of people our listeners are uber engaged in local politics. So more so, it's like, hey, what's next? And I know you had a piece on that. And where do things go from here?
You know, when we say what's next, regular council meeting today. There's no, as we've talked about here, other stories, it's going to be on the May 4th primary ballot. There's no provision in the Cincinnati Charter that says that, you know, anybody, what happens if an elected official is arrested, indicted, you know, has problems with work? Like, what happens? There's nothing there. So I expect today that Wendell will go to council like normal. Of course, there's two options here. We have seen Ohio Attorney General Dave Yost suspended two other members, still suspended right now as they fight federal bribery charges, P.G. Sittenfeld and Jeff Pastor. You know, P.G. a Democrat, Jeff a Republican, so it doesn't really seem like politics are playing in to the decision-making there. It's really more about they were arrested for an alleged crime. But Yost has been very quiet. No return calls from his office. I don't know if he's planning on doing the same thing here. Anybody who is curious about it, I encourage you to look at Dave Yost's tweets, as I do, because that's how we found out about Sittenfeld and Pastor. So haven't heard anything there. Pat Hanley, the special prosecutor in the case, could also make such a move. I feel like that would have come at the same time the indictment came down last Thursday.
Pat Hanley, the special prosecutor, can make the move to start suspension?
Correct.
Of the council member.
Right. Okay. Only the Ohio Supreme Court actually does that. That's a very good point. Like, this is just like the start of the process. Two people can initiate it.
Okay.
So it is a process. Both Sittenfeld and Pastor accepted their suspension without going through a process.
Right.
On their own. They're paid while they're suspended. And so, you know, I've been calling them the ghost council members because they still get paid and their benefits
full
and everything.
Benefits, yep.
And Tamaya Dennard, you know, she was the first one and, like, of course, the most shocking, like, because the first, right? And people, that's when we really, you know, are, like, taking a deep dive in the city charter with the whole no mention of what should happen. She resigned. There were some calls for her resignation, even by her own party, and she resigned. But then we've kind of seen this different process
Yeah.
As we've gone along. I can't even believe I'm saying a sentence like that. As we've gone along and there's been more indictments. Like, it's just, it's an absolutely almost unfathomable sentence that I would say that.
It really is. And I know we need to get to our special guest, Sherry, but there's one question I do want to ask you, and I'm not asking you to editorialize in this. I never would ask you to do that. You're a reporter. You talk to a lot of people. You're well-sourced. Are you a little surprised when you're looking at this primary that there's no real sweeping reform ballot initiative? There are a few, but
I'm not. Only I'm disappointed that we haven't seen, you know, more. We've seen a lot of people say they want reforms, and yes, they haven't. I haven't seen a lot of them materialize yet, and they've kind of been quiet about it.
Blah, blah, frickin' blah.
That is a line from Jason's column. I've been saying it all week. But here's the thing, and we do have to get to our special guest. It was a very quick turnaround to get on that ballot with a very serious, some sort of anti-corruption measure, because it's May 4th. You had, you know, a timeline to get on the ballot before things. And so I'm not surprised, you know, but there's been some other suggestions they haven't really been followed up on. And now we would technically be approaching the time to put something on the general election ballot.
November.
And I don't hear any talk of that. So we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah, I guess too. Yeah. The fact there's nothing on the May ballot is one thing, but the fact there's nothing really sweeping, stakeholders from all over the place coming together, putting a big thing together that's not even in the process for the November election is, like you said, it's people have talked a lot about it. And at this point, and I will say this, it's lip service. And people can talk a good game about it and say, oh, we want change and we want reform. We want to go back to good government practices and being known as that. Well, you got to roll up your sleeves, be willing to work with people who maybe aren't in your party or are in different industries, the business community. Everybody needs to come together, rally around this, if that's what people want. I mean, otherwise, we're just going to sit here, and I'm concerned that
what do we say?
There could be more happening
blah,
with a brand
blah,
new council.
Frickin' blah.
That's right. I think on that note, let's completely switch gears. Bring on special guest, TQL President Carrie Byrne. All right, special guest time here on the That's So Cincinnati podcast, and really pleased to welcome, fresh off of some really exciting news for his company, really, and for the region, the president of TQL, Carrie Byrne. Carrie, welcome to the podcast. How are you?
I'm great, Jason. Thank you for having me.
As we record this, like, the news is breaking that the FC Cincinnati Stadium will be TQL Stadium.
TQL Stadium. I like the sound of that.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's been quite a whirlwind day so far, and I think it's only just getting started. As I just mentioned, I just got back from the press conference, which I'm not a veteran of press conferences, by the way. So Jeff had to kind of usher me through that one.
Wait, there's no better guy to deal with the media than Jeff Birding.
Right.
He gets it. It worked out
pretty well, I think.
Well, we want to talk to you about the great work of your company and the growth of your company. But first, while we're on the topic, TQL, how did the whole thing about TQL getting the naming rights of the FC Cincinnati MLS Stadium come about?
So, I think conversations about a partnership were going on for a while. And by partnership, I mean initially a suite at Nippert Stadium and, you know, what does that look like? So I think that the conversation started a little while ago, and then COVID hit and that stopped, right? Because everyone was doing their thing.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of heated up towards the end of last year and kind of gained some momentum. Jeff and I were just chatting about that. Somebody asked us that down at the stadium today, and sort of kind of gained momentum, you know, as we got through the spring. So we're pleased to be able to make that announcement today.
And your company is the largest, it's Cincinnati's largest privately held company, more than 5,000 employees. And, you know, I remember back when I covered transportation, you know, I learned a lot about TQL and the industry in general. But for folks who are listeners who don't know what the industry itself is, can you explain what TQL does?
Of course. So we are a freight brokerage company, meaning a non-asset-based freight brokerage company, which means we don't own the asset, but we find the asset for shippers who are trying to move freight. And so historically, we had been primarily a full truckload freight broker, meaning, you know, that particular mode was, we kind of made a strategic decision to stick to what we were good at. And then about 5 years ago, we decided that, you know, we had the depth of leadership and bench strength to really make more robust our product offerings in other modes, such as LTL, less than truckload, intermodal, drayage. Now we're in, you know, ocean and air, international.
Oh, wow.
You know, we've got a division for Mexico. So, you know, our business is, there's been some natural diversification there. And so, yeah, we were a little over $4.1 billion in gross revenue last year. We think, and you know, truckload was probably $3.6 plus billion of that. We look forward to having this year five businesses that will be over $100 million. So it's been nice to see some of those other services, service offerings, you know, take hold.
So go ahead.
So an example would be, and you're right, you know, it's not everybody understands it unless you've been exposed to the business. So a company needs to move, you know, a load of lettuce from, excuse me, Salinas, California to, you know, Cincinnati. They may or may not have an asset-based carrier move that load. That shipper may have some, that freight, they don't know when the product's going to be ready. It's, you know, it's not a consistent cadence as to when that might get out of Salinas. So, you know, those are one of the opportunities where a freight broker would step in, because we have access to 90,000 carriers. You know, whether you need to load at 8 o'clock on a Friday night or 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning, we're going to be able to find capacity to get that load moved.
Has the need picked up during the pandemic?
Absolutely. So as we sit here on April 21st, with 2 inches of snow out there, you know, this time last year, there was a bit of what we called in the industry a freight cliff, because remember, large portion of the economy shut down for a period of time. So we saw our volumes, you know, decrease. We didn't really know what was going to happen. I have friends in the industry. We all kind of know each other and get along pretty well. We're sharing notes, and nobody knew, right? You know, as we sat here this time last year. Well, you know, we saw 3 weeks of declining volumes, dramatically declining volumes, but it turned around pretty quickly, because think about it. You know, we've been in a consumer-driven economy for a while now, but it really got hot when folks weren't going to the office. And, you know, they were buying a lot of, you know, we move a lot of food and beverage. You know, 25% of the loads we move go on refrigerated trucks. So that's a lot of food and food-related products. So you can imagine, you know, we're supplying, our customers are the places that, ever, you know, our biggest customers are names you would recognize, because you go there to shop for your everyday, you know, food and other things. And then, you know, it really started to get hot through the middle of the year, and we ended up having a record year, which we probably would not have predicted this time last year. So, yes, and it hasn't slowed down. You know, we expect, you know, gross revenue to exceed $5 billion this year. You know, demand is out there, and you know, now that stimulus checks are out there, consumers are spending. You know, and we are helping to keep those shelves stocked.
We appreciate that.
Yeah. I mean, and it's interesting, because you're the type of company, you guys roll your sleeves up. You're not out in the media a lot. You're not out in the public a lot, but you're one of these critical you know, really behind the scenes companies that help make America go and get, like you said, get clothes on people's backs and furniture in their homes and stuff in the stores.
There's no question. You're right, Jason. I appreciate that. We say that here. What we do is more than essential. You know, we used that essential word a lot last year, right? Mm-hmm. And we brought people back to the office in June, before a lot of other folks did, and we took some flack for it. But we're awfully glad we did now, because we do have a lot of space out here, obviously a lot more now that we've opened our new building, and we were able to make it work. And things, freight demand was so high, we would have big enterprise customers that would, offer us hundreds of loads on a Friday. Well, if you're the enterprise team, there's a few hundred people in the enterprise team. If they're all sitting on the same floor, they're able to execute better because they're together. Sure, they have technology at their fingertips and they can do in information and whatnot, but there's nothing like having the team together. So we feel like we executed better than many because we were back in the office working together.
You know, that's a big conversation right now, I think, whether to go back to the office. Like, there's obviously perks to working at home, but is it as creative? Is it as communicative? Like, can you live on Teams? Some days I feel like you can. Some days I feel like you definitely can't and you need to be in the office. So it'll be interesting to see who follows the idea of coming back or not. That's a moment where we're there now, even though you were ahead of the curve.
Right. And a lot of conversations, and I have a pretty strong opinion on it, and I've been quoted as saying, we can be a pretty darn good company and move a lot of freight working remotely, but to be great, we have to be together. And we can't hire, train, develop, and grow by working remotely. And I don't think we would have been as effective moving all that critical freight last year if we continue to work from home.
Yeah. And is this, obviously this is your biggest kind of foray into, advertising, really in a sort of a public way. Have you guys done, I'm trying to think, have you guys done some sports advertising before?
Nothing major.
Yeah.
Jason, we did some things with UC football back, naming the student section for a year or something like that, but mm-hmm. nothing major. This by far is the biggest thing we've ever done.
And you're both Bearcats, and I hear that you're very big into the university. Serve on some boards there, is that right?
That's correct. I am very much a Bearcat.
Played baseball there.
I did. Way back in 1987, I graduated. People are too young to remember the Metro Conference, but that's the conference we were in back then. It was a great conference.
Yeah, I missed you by 6 years. I came 93. I'm actually with my son because our coach, he works in the athletic department, and we're going to UC baseball game with our youth baseball team on this Sunday. Oh, so I'm really looking forward to it.
I think it's an 11 o'clock start, isn't it?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, Wichita State's in town this weekend. I think I'm playing golf. I will not see you there.
Okay.
But I get down there fairly often. Coach Googans is awesome.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard he's a great guy and obviously does a great job. And yeah, I'm looking forward. College baseball. Yeah, I think the tickets were $2. So really looking forward to doing it. I want to ask you about jumping into, soccer. And like you said, you guys had done a few sports things before. Is by you guys taking on this project, is the idea to make yourself more visible because you're constantly growing, you're constantly hiring people, is it to make yourself more visible for future employees, or is it more so to try to attract, when you're, the team's on ESPN or something, to attract, companies who are out there and like, oh, TQL Stadium. What's that? Yeah. Or is it all the above?
I think it's definitely all of the above. As I said, in the press conference, it is to reward our employees and continue to attract talent. I was really pleased to see P&G's announcement of their sponsorship with Major League Soccer, you know, directly with the league.
Yep.
It, you know, it sort of validated, you know, what our thinking was, and there some of their comments was, you know, and you know, if a great company like P&G's doing it, it just made us feel better, you know, about our partnership. Major League Soccer as a league and as a fan base continues to grow significantly. The demographic of our employees tends to skew younger. They identify with that. So we think that platform, you know, allows us to really continue to grow our brand. So, and then, you know, there are, and as I mentioned a couple of times today, you know, we're 57 offices in X number of cities, and 16 of those cities house Major League Soccer teams. So yeah, I mean, you know, we do think the exposure will help us from a brand perspective, both on the shipper side and prospective employee side.
How has it gone over in house so far?
Yeah, so as I just mentioned, I have not had time to talk to anyone because I got back to my office about from the press conference about 10 minutes before we started this call. So I suspect it's going very well, but I'll check, you know, when we hang up.
And what's the?
You know, I think our folks are going to be super excited, and we've planned a lot of. Ken Oaks, our CEO, sent out email first thing this morning with the announcement. We have some fun events planned during the day. The mascot's going to be here if he's not here already. So yeah, it's going to be a fun day.
I forgot to even ask you what. And I know it's in Sherry's story. What's the terms? How long will this? Maybe TQL Stadium, or
not,
at least
not in the stories. Naming rights are closely held, but feel free to break news right here and tell us everything.
Jason, you know, we are not disclosing the terms of the deal. It's obviously a significant investment, and it's a long term deal.
So you're not disclosing even like how many years either.
Correct.
Okay. Gotcha.
Oh, Jason, I tried.
Understood. Yeah. could we see more big things? Like, I mean, I know this is huge. This one's huge. Like, but could we see more TQL marketing efforts around town? Not necessarily maybe on this level, but do you feel like this sort of raises the bar for TQL in a marketing from a marketing standpoint?
I think it does, Jason. Could we see more cool things happen? Yes. But I would point out that this is a really unique opportunity. You know, you don't get a chance to name a stadium, you know, a major league stadium in your hometown, you know, very often. So from that perspective, you know, obviously something of this scale, this is our kind of, you know, our swan song, if you will. But, you know, I think that, you know, we continue to try to be creative. And I think everybody, there are a lot of folks out there trying to hire. So, you know, our recruiting team and our marketing team are working every day to get creative on getting prospective candidates' attention. We're looking for, as we mentioned earlier, 1,000 employees across the country, 400 or so here in Cincinnati. And it's really every level. It's hourly to, you know, senior IT developers and even sales managers and whatnot. So, I think we did billboards again last month for the first time in several years. So so nothing major like this naming rights deal, but we will definitely continue to try to get our name out there, especially for prospective candidates.
TQL has operations in 57 markets?
That's correct. 56, I'm sorry, I misspoke.
56 markets. Could we see that number grow?
I would say not likely.
Yeah.
We feel that the footprint is there and we have room to fill it in. The only caveat to that would be, you know, as our Mexico operations continues to gather steam, could we perhaps have a location in Mexico? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Most of our Mexico team is in our San Antonio office right now. I personally want to have an office in Canada because we do a lot of business inter and intra Canada. Mm-hmm. I've been told it's hard to do. But yeah, it's something like that, but probably not you know, not five more cities just because we don't feel like we need. And the reason we did that really was to tap into new pools of talent.
Yeah.
So we feel like that footprint is adequate for that.
That's fantastic. And where do you see TQL, I don't know, 5 years down the road? Will you, you know, you, like you said, you have more than 5,000 employees now. You're looking to hire 1,000 more. Are you thinking 10,000, 20,000?
You know, I think that you will see a company that is much larger, that is a much bigger player in the other modes besides full truckload, as I referenced earlier.
Yeah.
You will see a company that has continued to invest in technology. We really are focused. You know, we talk about hiring a lot. What we haven't talked about is a lot of our efforts in back office automation. You know, that, you know, I attended an internal meeting yesterday, and I was given a demo of chatbots and how we're using chatbots in various ways across the company to save time and be more efficient. So, you know, in theory, we wouldn't perhaps need to hire thousands more support if we can automate some of that, but we will always, you know, be, you know, growing and investing in both people and technology. So I don't know how big we'll be, but we'll be a lot bigger.
Love it. And congratulations on all your success with the company. And I know you do great work in the community as well, with United Way, the Chamber of Commerce, the University of Cincinnati. And, you know, really appreciate, and, you know, I know we were joking earlier off the air about, hey, you're not a political person, but we love mixing up and having influencers and newsmakers on here. And I know it's a busy, exciting day for you. And so thanks so much for taking the time to join us.
My pleasure. Can I make a shameless plug?
Absolutely.
Brought up United Way. So I was Eastern Region Chair for the United Way campaign this year, and we had a great team that helped drive a successful campaign. And so I did a video for United Way, and I was asked to go to Goshen or Spalding Elementary School in Goshen, Ohio in September, October to film this video. It was a gorgeous morning. And the reason I was asked to go there was because Elida Hart and her team from Interfaith Parish Ministries were hosting a mobile food pantry. And it was incredible. It really opened my eyes, you know. So got to talking to the team. A lot of United Way folks were there, and other agencies were there to help. And I mean, hundreds of cars waiting to get staples, just groceries. Three big pickups filled with gently used backpacks. You know, it was touching, to be honest. So fast forward to later in the year, we hosted one here at TQL. And Missy and I, my wife and I, and our son Brennan were here with the team. We supplied a hot lunch for everyone that came through, and probably had 350 cars come through. We are hosting another one again this Saturday. That's why I bring it up. So, it's powerful stuff. And you know, COVID isn't gone, and the need, you know, that has been exposed due to COVID is still here. So that's why I'm just making a shameless plug for everyone to support your agencies, whatever that might be, United Way, to continue to do great things to help folks in the community.
Well, and you talk about growing and being a company that wants to attract the top talent, and doing these kinds of things are very, very important to really, you know, attracting a talented workforce. And because, you know, especially I think younger folks coming up into the workforce now want to be part of something that has a purpose. And you hear a lot about companies doing this. So
you are absolutely right.
Yeah.
We have TQL Cares is a component of our marketing team, and all they do is drive our philanthropic efforts. We have charity captains.
Oh, that's cool.
Team, and they drive, like, you know, the San Antonio office might have a certain event. Well, our TQL Cares team and marketing supports them on that. And so I think that stats are, you know, we donated over $2 million last year, but hundreds and hundreds, probably thousands of hours. You know, and you're absolutely right, Jason, in terms of how, you know, these folks want, they care. they care, and they want to make sure that we care.
Yeah. Well, again, thanks so much, and just wishing you all the success. Congrats on all your success, and wishing you so much more. Thanks for joining us today, Kerry.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you, Sherry.
It's always nice to have a fellow Bearcat on, right, Jason?
It sure is.
We were a little bit out of our wheelhouse talking about business this week, but business is a big part of Cincinnati, and that's so Cincinnati. That was a good chat. All right. So for our That's So Cincinnati moment of the week, this is my brainchild. So if you all hate it, just, you know, tweet at me and tell me.
My heart is racing. I am fired up. I am pumped. I am ready. I am out for blood.
Two of my very good friends, Jason and Dan Horn, my reporting partner. You've seen our co-bylines on a lot of things. Dan, this week, I don't know why he did this, decided to write a column about not liking Cincinnati chili. Phil, what do you got? Anything? So anyway, so we're going to have a mini debate here, because as you all know, Jason loves Cincinnati chili. So in the spirit of it's an election year, let's do this. We're going to debate Cincinnati chili.
Is this our That's So Cincinnati moment of the week?
Because
hating Cincinnati-style chili is anything but a moment, right?
Well, you're going to win the debate, right?
Well, I feel like I'm walking into an ambush.
Oh, wait. We have Dan here with us.
We have Dan here with us. That's right. Dan, it's just a quasi-debate here. What happened there? You just decided to put a pen to a piece of paper and take on the entire city?
Well, this has been going on for a while. I mean, I didn't just wake up one day and decide Cincinnati chili isn't very good. I just, you know, woke up one day and decided I had enough and I should probably write something about it. You know, Bill asked us, our editor asked us to tell people a little bit about ourselves and what we like about Cincinnati. And it seemed like half the people in our staff were saying very nice things about Cincinnati chili, including Jason. And I just felt like I couldn't carry on with that lie. And I felt like I had to be honest about where I stand on that.
Jason, what do you got? That lie, Jason?
I'm not saying Jason's lying. I believe Jason loves chili. There's no doubt about that. I just feel like in my case, it would be, you know, not truthful for me to suggest that Cincinnati chili is a thing that is good.
To quote to alter slightly the quote of the legendary Bengals coach Sam Weich, you don't live in Cincinnati, or you don't live in Cleveland, you live in Cincinnati. I will alter it and say, you don't live in Cleveland anymore, you live in Cincinnati, son.
Well, you're not perfect, I guess, but we'll work with it.
So it was about this time last year, sort of in the early stages of the pandemic, where I went on my chili tour. And it seemed to be a big hit on Twitter. And I did, I think, 6 days.
Are you recovered from that yet? Just curious. No.
I was struggling. I was struggling those last 2 days. Let me tell you, it was rough. Those last two, Friday and Saturday, were rough. And so here we are a year later. And I'd kind of like to do it again. And yet I read my Inquirer, and how dare you? But I will say, Dan, it's funny. I read the comments, and most of the comments on your column were like, I agree with you, Dan. I agree with you. But there's those few people who act like, oh my gosh, you took a personal shot at them. And it seems, you know, you hear it, you know, remember when Joe Burrow a few years ago said, I don't really like Cincinnati chili.
It was like his first tweet out of the gate. Even I was like, I'm not sure that's a good first tweet, but okay, let's do this.
Cincinnati fans seem to be over that. They seem to be okay with that.
Yes. But what's been the feedback for you?
I've been shocked at how many fellow travelers I have encountered after publishing that column. I think there's a lot of people out there who secretly feel better when they don't eat Cincinnati chili, and that's kind of where I'm at on it. And I think, you know, and I think if you read the column, it was not, you know, a bunch of cheap shots against Cincinnati Chili. I really did try to like it. I've eaten it. My kids like it. I have spent more than a few hours in my week sitting in Skyline drive-thrus. I mean, it's not like I have some, you know, personal hatred of it. I just don't like it. And I think in the column, I talk about why I think it's a great story. The origin story of Cincinnati Chili is great. I think it's great that this city, like many cities, has a thing that it can point to and say, this is our thing. And when guests come to town, they can take them to Chili, out to get some chili. I think all that's great. I think it's a great story. And I wanted to like it. I just don't, you know? And so I don't think there's shame in that. I don't begrudge people who do. I mean, it's not, I'm not telling you shouldn't eat your chili, although I do worry about what your cardiologist might think, but I don't, you know, I'm not going to lecture you about it. I just, if you like it, knock yourself out, you know, but
I'm just playing, man. Like here's my take on the Cincinnati chili criticism. I feel much the same way criticism of the streetcar or any other inanimate
We haven't talked about the streetcar in a non-living long object. Time.
You can't hurt the streetcar's feelings. You can't hurt Cincinnati Chili's feelings because it's not a living, breathing thing. So have at it and criticize it away. I don't care. But I do, Dan. I want to ask you this: have you tried all or most of the chili parlors around town?
Oh, I'm sure I have not. You know, Skyline, Gold Star, I think Camp Washington once, you know, but no, I am not an aficionado. I don't pretend to be. So I'm sure there are some that are better than others. But like I said, I'm not here to take cheap shots at it. I don't, you know, most of the column, if you read it, was really about why this matters so much to Cincinnati and why it would be nice if I liked something that matters so much to so many people here. And that was kind of why I wrote it. I think it is a nice thing. I think it is cool that Cincinnati has this. I just don't like it.
All right, I'm going to call this a draw.
You must be. I could say that. I mean, you must be from Cleveland, but then again, like, I'm not from here either, and I love it. So,
trust me, man. We eat all kinds of stuff in Cleveland that is not good for you. I mean, kielbasa and pierogies. I mean, my God,
paninis where the French fries are on the sandwich outside the Indian Stadium.
Oh, that's spectacular. Oh, yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of awful stuff that I eat that was big in Cleveland. So we've got our stuff too, and I'm not judging anybody here.
Including, there is a Skyline Chili in suburban Cleveland.
Oh, I'm sure.
I believe it's in Parma.
That makes sense.
I believe it's in Parma or around that area.
Parma's always been a little different.
All right, Dan, thank you for coming on. No problem. We're going to put Dan's column back out on the website and on Twitter so you guys can really give it a read. He's right. It was very thoughtful, and it was about sense of place, which is that So Cincinnati moment, and that's why we're really doing this.
You can have your Pulitzer Prize, pal. I'll have my Cincinnati chili.
Sounds like a deal to me.
All right. Thanks, bud.
Bye, Dan.
Enjoy it, man. We'll see you guys.
See ya.
Bye.
So the Coolidges, I have to say, we discovered something this week. Jack Coolidge got braces, and that was not a fun day. However, we did do something. We took a page out of your book. He discovered the bowls of chili.
How do you like it?
He loved it. It's his new favorite thing. And there was multiple bowls of chili consumed over one weekend. I was a little bit nervous, to be honest, just as I am during your chili tour. But we were okay. And he discovered it. And like, so a nod to Polly Campbell and a nod to you. But I knew to do that.
What do you mean
that?
A nod to Polly Campbell? She's the one who always poo-pooed me eating the bowls of chili. But what am I, chopped onions here in a bowl of chili?
So anyway, that's our chili moment.
Well, what did young Jack get in his bowl of chili? Cheese?
He did. Bean? That was plenty.
Cheese and chili.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. I prefer cheese, chili, and beans. makes it a little soupier, makes it a little more like soup if you put beans in it. But I'm all for the chili and cheese as well. I'm all for anyone who wants to enjoy a bowl of Cincinnati style chili, because it is, it's underrated.
I feel like it's your lunch today. It's kind of snowy outside.
Excuse me, it's snowy outside?
It is.
Late
All right.
April.
All right, we got to wrap this up.
All right, Cher. That was fun. Thanks to Dan Horn, Carrie Byrne, Sherry Coolidge, Silent Phil. And thanks to you, our listeners. Catch you next week.